Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Senator Bernie Sanders, the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. He and 26 other senators today call for a stop to the wholesale closing of rural post offices and for measures to preserve first-class mail and Saturday delivery. We will also discuss the obscene amounts of super PAC money flooding into this year's election and what can be done to overturn Citizens United. Then we'll get a reading on China's next leader, Xi Jinping, who is visiting Washington, as well as a broader assessment of China's emerging role as a global superpower. One of the world's foremost experts on China's language, culture, politics, and people, Perry Link, joins us to look into the current backlash from Arab countries angry at China's veto of a UN Security Council resolution aimed at stopping the Assad family dictatorship from killing the Syrian people. Then finally, we will speak with an extraordinary and humble man who has had a direct effect on nonviolent resistance tactics around the world, from Serbia to Iran, from Egypt to Russia. The founder of the Albert Einstein Institution, Gene Sharp, joins us. He is the author of a new book just out, Sharp's Dictionary of Power and Struggle, Language and Civil Resistance in Conflicts. I'm now joined by Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2008 to represent Vermont after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. And you, along with 26 of your colleagues in the Senate, Senator Sanders, are trying to rescue the post office. It's an extraordinary irony to think that we are speaking here on Valentine's Day, and the beloved post office in Valentine, Texas, famous for its unique Valentine's Day postmarks, is on the list of endangered post offices soon to be closed.
That's right. Here's where we are, Ian. The Postmaster General announced the plan last year, which would shut down 3,700 post offices, most of them rural, which shut down half of the mail processing plants in this country. That's about 252 of them. Would end Saturday mail delivery, would shrink the workforce of the Postal Service by about 40%, from 550,000 down to 330,000. His argument is that first-class mail is down, which is certainly true. But the other reality that we are concerned about is that every single year, the Postal Service, as a result of legislation in 2006, is obliged to come up with $5.5 billion in future employee health benefits. And that is just an onerous and unprecedented burden that no other entity in government or in the private sector comes anywhere near having to fulfill. And that has had an enormously harmful impact on the finances of the Post Office. So we think that by ending that onerous burden, which the Inspector General of the Post Office says is no longer needed because there is already $44 billion in that fund, and moving the Post Office into a more entrepreneurial mode, lifting some of the restrictions that they have right now, allowing them to be more aggressive and going out and earning money, we think that in the next few years, the Postal Service can be reshaped and be a far more profitable institution than it is right now.
So, Senator Sanders, how did it come about that the Post Office got stuck with this an onerous burden of having to pre-fund future workers' retirements?
I will tell you how. Because President George W. Bush said he would not sign the bill unless that was in it. And that's the simple truth of it.
Well, then what was the motive behind it? Is that one of those notions of privatization that will...
I would say, yeah. You can argue that and certainly there are a number of Republicans who are pretty clear that they want to destroy the post office as it currently is. They don't believe government should be involved in this type of activity. That's certainly one of the motives. You can argue that it's an anti-union effort. We have some strong postal unions, and if you're a Republican, you may not like that at all. So I think those are certainly some of the motivating factors there. But the bottom line is, I think it would be a real disaster for this country if we lost post offices all over rural America. And I'll tell you something else, Ian. If you slow down mail delivery service, which is what happens when you shut down half of the processing plants in this country, what you're really doing is beginning the death spiral for the post office. Because right now, clearly they're in competition against email, and they're losing their competition. The response is not to slow down mail service anymore. If you're a business person and you're told, well, you know, when you mail your packages, it may not get to its destination until 2 or 3 days rather than one day, you're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to use the Postal Service anymore. I'm going to go someplace else. So there's going to be less revenue coming in, more cuts, and we're not going to have much left in a few years. The good news is, I think, is that because of the fact that the fund, the future retiree health fund, is now in strong shape, the fact that everybody recognizes the Postal Service has overpaid into the federal employment retirement system. There are some negotiations going on now between the union and the Postal Service on health care, which can save money. You add all that together, we have now a window of opportunity for the next 3 or 4 years to maintain a current mail delivery service, maintain our rural post offices, maintain Saturday service, and transform the post office into a very different entity. Let me give you some examples. I come from a rural state. If in Vermont you walk into a post office, a rural post office, and you say, I would like this letter notarized, postal clerk would say, sorry, we're not allowed to do that. Oh, I would like 10 copies of this letter. Sorry, we don't do copying. Could you wrap my gift that I got in Christmas packaging? Sorry, we don't do that at all. Can I get a fishing license or a hunting license? No. We're not allowed to do that at all. What about cashing a check for me? Well, can't do that at all. What about strong email service? I want to send a very important statement to the West Coast, and I want to make sure that it's going to be private. No one's going to look at it. No, we don't do that either. So if you look at what's going on in Europe and around the rest of the world, post offices have significantly expanded what they do above and beyond just delivering mail and packages. In terms of delivering mail today, every day, our mailmen will deliver mail to about 160 million doors throughout this country. Could they be doing more? The answer is yes, they could. So what we need to do is to bring together some very smart entrepreneurial types to say, okay, this is how we can give the post offices opportunity to bring in more revenue. This is how we can expand what our letter carriers are doing. I think if we do those things, you can re-energize the post office and bring in significantly more revenue, so you don't need these devastating cuts.
And interestingly enough, Senator Sanders, in Japan, the post office is the biggest savings accounts, has the biggest savings accounts in Japan. One of the many services you just mentioned that the post office could have, I think it used to have, actually.
That's right. No, that is exactly right. But just, I mean, an example. You're in a rural area. You need to cash a government check, if you like. Right now, the Postal Service is not doing that. Why aren't they doing that? Plus, many, many other activities that I think they could be doing.
So why is it then, Senator Sanders, that in President Obama's budget, 2013 budget that he unveiled yesterday, why is he backing the ending of Saturday mail and boosting stamp prices?
Well, this is kind of where he is echoing the major piece of legislation here in the Senate, which sooner or later would end Saturday mail and shut down rural post offices and so forth and so on. What I have been trying to do with some success, and we now have a pretty strong majority, I think, of the Democratic caucus, and I think we have some Republicans who say there is another approach. So I think what Obama has bought into is what had been the dominant feeling, which I think no longer is that the only solution to the financial problems facing the post office is part of this cut, cut, cut. Saturday mail delivery service is one, shutting down processing plants the other, shutting down rural post offices the other. He has bought into that. But I think we now have a majority members in the Democratic caucus. You got some Republicans who are saying, is there another way that we can go forward to solve the financial problems of the post office and yet retain the integrity of this agency, which has been so important to the American people?
But there's also an inherent contradiction in much of what the president was talking about yesterday. It wasn't an austerity budget, which we've seen what damage that's done in Europe.
Yeah.
It was a stimulus budget. And he talks about the need for more jobs and a lot of jobs in terms of infrastructure that he's put forth. Yet at the same time, we're talking about 220,000 jobs that the post office will lose. I mean, we've already had a tremendous hemorrhaging of public employees' jobs throughout the country.
Decent paying jobs in many cases, the union jobs. So you're absolutely right. Why, in the middle of recession, when we spend every day here and the president is telling us how we have to create jobs and create jobs, would we be talking about shrinking the postal service by 220,000, including, by the way, many veterans? So I think you're right. It is inconsistent with the overall message. But all I can tell you, the president's budget, for better or for worse, is a series of recommendations. And I think what you're seeing here, at least in the Senate, is a majority of the Democrats are saying, we think there is a better way to go forward in terms of saving the Postal Service.
Well, just in closing, Senator Sanders, I know you've been working a lot on trying to figure ways to overturn Citizens United. We've already seen the disastrous results of that Supreme Court ruling with the creation of these super PACs that are dominating this 2012 election. I get thousands of pieces of mail from all kinds of progressive organizations all the time, and what I'm noticing is that there are all kinds of progressive organizations around the country trying to figure out ways through a constitutional amendment and other means to overturn Citizens United, but I don't get the sense that there's any cohesion, that there's a game plan, that there's a strategy here.
Well, we're working with a number of these organizations, including Public Citizen and some others. What you're seeing right now, Ian, is in towns and cities throughout this country, resolutions are being passed. You're going to see some action at state legislative levels urging the Congress to pass the constitutional amendment. I and others have introduced, I think, strong and effective constitutional amendments. So I think you are going to see a lot of grassroots organizing around this enormously important issue. You're absolutely right. And by the way, what I have to tell you is you ain't seen nothing yet. They're playing around, when people made this big deal that Sheldon Adelson had put $5 million and his wife $5 million into Gingrich's campaign. This is a family worth $22 billion. $5 million is one day's profit for them. They could have put $50 million, they could have put $500 million, and it really would have been very little skin off their nose. So we have not yet seen anything, but we are clearly moving toward a situation where every significant candidate in this country is going to have a sugar daddy, is going to have a billionaire or corporate sponsor, and that is just unspeakable in terms of the destruction it's going to bring to what many of us believe American democracy is supposed to be. So I can't think of a more important issue than A, overturning Citizens United. B, we don't have to wait till that happens. That's going to be a difficult process. Right now, I expect to see legislation on the floor of the Senate which says, if you're going to run an ad, if you're a corporation and you want to run an ad, you're going to have to do what every candidate does, what I have to do if I run an ad, and that is say, I approve this message. You do that one simple thing. You demand that corporate America, the CEO, is on that television set. You know what? You're going to very substantially reduce those ads. There are other things that we can do to ameliorate the disastrous implications of Citizens United. So overturning it is the long-term goal, but legislation right now to minimize its impact is something we've got to do and can do.
Well, that's good to hear because it's a very high bar. A constitutional amendment takes a long time, and this is a problem that has to be addressed right away.
So. Absolutely. And I just people, what you're seeing now, and you're quite right, people are waking up to this because you're looking at Romney has Wall Street super PAC contributors, and Gingrich has, the Adelson family, and Santorum has his particular sugar daddy. And this is only going to get worse, and you're going to see it in this campaign, and it's imperative that Congress act immediately to reduce its impact.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Senator Bernie Sanders.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2006, serving Vermont after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about China's new leader's visit to Washington.
Right there, that's the postman asleep in the sand. He's got a get well card to deliver. He's going to do it by